It's Vision Health Month, and OAO optometrist Dr. Joe Chan joins us this morning to talk about the importance of eye health and finding an eye doctor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you this morning.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful to see you as well.
Now, as well as providing comprehensive eye and vision care for all age groups, I understand that your areas of expertise include pediatric eye health, treating people with diabetes, and those with ocular pathology. Let's talk about some of those things.
Definitely, yes.
So let's start with pediatric eye health.
Well, pediatric eye health, we certainly want to encourage parents to bring their kids in as early as possible. And we even suggest as early as 6 months for their initial eye exam. And then again, around 3 or 4 years old, and then annually thereafter.
Mm-hmm. But how do you go about the six-month-old doing an eye test on
With a six-month-old, I mean, we're doing more of a preliminary check. And so we're checking for some major things, so eye coordination, making sure that the two eyes are lined up properly. We're checking as well to get some sense of whether or not the vision in both eyes is similar, because mm-hmm. we want to rule out conditions such as amblyopia.
Mm-hmm. Where What's that?
Well, amblyopia can come up where if you have a misalignment of the eyes and one eye is turned in, or perhaps one eye is quite farsighted, so it's quite blurry, mm-hmm. the two eyes don't develop at the same rate. And so you can have really dominant one eye, and then the other eye can become essentially lazy or amblyopic. Mm-hmm. And so that's a condition that we have to identify nice and early so that we can try to remedy it, because it can actually lead to permanent vision loss in the affected eye. So in addition to that, there's eye health issues that we're looking for. One of the big things is a malignant eye tumor in the back of the eye called retinoblastoma. Incredibly rare, but it's one of the things that we try to look for in infants. And that's the kind of thing where if we can identify it early enough, we can intervene and make sure that it doesn't cause any major problems.
Mm. That really is great. You know, I just don't think, I know it's incredibly naive of me, but I just don't think about children having such a thing. It's such a big thing, a grown-up thing to have.
It is, and it's unfortunate. But we even have, at infants, but even teenagers, I had a young girl whose father had glaucoma. And so we checked her, and wouldn't you know it, at 14, her pressures were through the roof, which puts her at risk for glaucoma. And we had to actually refer her and initiate her for treatment. So, kids, there's this assumption that kids, you know, as long as they can see properly, then they wouldn't have an eye health problem.
Right.
But
there's
still some risk for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other things you work on, and one that's a particular interest to me, is diabetics. Because I know from personal experience, my eyes are changing all the time.
Well, the diabetes certainly is one of the things, and there's certainly that diabetes can affect people of all ages. And the risk with the diabetes is if with the fluctuating sugars, it can affect the blood vessels. And there's a lot of blood vessels in the back of the eye. And we can get fluid leakage and bleeding at the back of the eye. And it can I know. But that's why we suggest patients with diabetes to see their optometrist at least once a year. And just to rule these things out. As well, for people with diabetes, if the sugar levels are fluctuating, your prescription can change as well.
So we
do want to make sure that we try to get a handle on that as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what about ocular pathology? I'm not even sure what that is, quite frankly.
Well, so there's certainly eye disease that can occur specifically in the eye, and we're looking for eye conditions. For age-related conditions such as macular degeneration, where the retina at the back of the eye is degraded over time. And there's other eye conditions like glaucoma, for example, which I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. where the pressure in the eye is higher than it should be for that person. And so for those kind of conditions, we try to make sure that we identify them nice and early. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we watch for is that there are certain things that can show up in the eye that can be indicative of conditions, more systemic conditions outside the body. So, mm-hmm. for example, a number of years ago, I had a patient come in who had mild headaches, really was coming in because she was having trouble reading. But as we looked at the back of the eye, there's a condition called papilledema where there's a swelling of where the optic nerve enters the back of the eye. And in this particular case, it was in both eyes, which could be indicative of a brain tumor.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and so I had a good relationship with the family doctor. We arranged for her to have immediate diagnostic testing and imaging of the brain. And as it turned out, she did have a brain tumor. So, and it was something where it was kind of off the radar. The headaches weren't really bad enough to kind of precipitate that type of testing. But because we had found this problem, the medical doctor and I had moved very quickly on this.
Mm-hmm. So all the more reason to find an optometrist to look after you.
Oh, yes. And, you know, for a lot of people who may not have a pre-existing relationship with an optometrist, there's a wonderful tool online called findaneyedoctor.ca.
Yep. Excellent, yep. Yes.
Yeah, so, and that's a wonderful way to find a local optometrist or speaking to some of your friends to see who they're seeing as well. But pretty much everyone from kids up to seniors, having a routine eye exam is essential to maintaining your vision, protecting your vision, but also giving you the peace of mind that you have none of these underlying problems that could cause problems down the road.
And do you recommend that pretty much all of us go to see an optometrist once a year?
I think as a starting point, and certainly once you visit your optometrist, they can give you a better idea of whether or not annually is appropriate, or perhaps if generally things are good, maybe once every 2 years. But I think annually is a good start, and having a pre-existing, having a relationship with an optometrist is a wonderful tool as well.
Because, well, yeah, it gives you that baseline.
Exactly. Right. Because from there, they can follow you, and certainly because I have records, I have old images, and I can follow my patients, and I can detect right away that, no, this is something different. This is something new, and then we can get on it right away, whereas sometimes if you're going to different, it's the same thing with family doctors, or if you're going to walk-in clinics all the time, you know, sometimes when you're seeing people just for specific problems, they don't have that baseline information to really determine that there actually is some, there's a trend there that there is some underlying issue.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, something that it just come to mind because I have it is dry eye.
Ah, yes.
What a nuisance that is.
It's and certainly that's another age-related condition,
right.
But also there was a but with that. So the other thing that we're finding, though, is that with the prevalence of electronic devices, we said that we're even seeing a dry eye in the younger ages, even as young, you know, in kids and teenagers, because they're staring at they're staring at their electronic devices, and what we're finding, there was a study done in Korea that was finding when kids are working on those electronic devices, that the blinks are incomplete, they're not blinking as frequently, and so they can suffer some of the symptoms of dry eye. So again, dry eye, which traditionally was thought of as a condition that was in perhaps an older age, is actually affecting all ages. And even for people now working in front of the computer all day, there's something called computer vision syndrome, where, again, people tend to stare at their computer screens for hours on end, and very similar problems can exist where the dry, essentially the symptoms of dry eye, grittiness, and all that stuff.
Yes. So. And speaking of grittiness, I should imagine that this time of year is also quite essential to protect your eyes from all the construction downtown, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, sure. And there's also allergies. For people affected by allergies, this time of year is
brutal.
Yeah. And so between using for people with dry eye, visiting your local optometrist, we can figure out whether or not it's appropriate to use lubricating drops.
Yes.
But there's other therapies that exist to help with people with dry eyes. So those are kinds of things that having a discussion with your optometrist can do. Also, they can give you advice on, say, ergonomic things that you can do in the office, for example, that you're working with your computer.
Get rid of all these five computers right in front of me.
Yeah, they even have, if there's a little catchphrase that we have, it's called the 20-20-20 rule, where every 20 minutes, you look up from your screen for 20 seconds at something 20 feet away.
Oh.
Right. So a very simple rule, but essentially what it does is it tries to break up your time on the computer screen, because, you know, sometimes I'll get patients who say, you know, they're on the computer screen and they look up and 2 hours have passed. And that's very difficult on your eyes, and it can certainly exacerbate any underlying problems like dry eye.
Well, Dr. Chan, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Wow.
I've learned so much this past month. It's just been terrific. We've been speaking with optometrist Dr. Joe Chan, and this is all about findaneyedoctor.ca. Go there, find a doctor in your area, and do go and see him once a year, perhaps. Thanks
Perfect.
So much.
Thank you so much.